Wow. If you turn in your Bibles with me, I want to give you three scriptures. We're going to start here this morning, and we haven't really done this. I want to talk to you about the man at Bethesda this morning. You remember the man at Bethesda? Well, I hardly remember him, but I do recall us talking about him. He's a good man. And he was trying to get healed for a long time. And he stayed at that pool for a long time. And we want to... Can I have my sheet there, honey? Thank you, Lord. It's good to have a good honey. This is not him. Face of the television came on there. I know we're a liberal church, but not that liberal. In some ways, we want to be. praise God. All righty. Let's go to John chapter 5, and I'm going to read 1 through 4 there. I'm going to talk about the man at the pool of Bethesda. This man represents you and I, and a lot of people that are seeking God to do something for them. In this particular area, it's about healing. And, we don't always, we haven't talked a lot about that, but I think we should talk about it because a number of people asked me different questions and asked me about that. So I thought, you know what, I should touch on it. And the people asked me to pray for them, and they have different hard questions. And I can answer all of them. Every one of them, and most of them would be, I don't know. And that would be a good answer, wouldn't it be? You know why this happened? Well, I don't know. But the questions we do know, the Bible answers, we do know. And, when someone dies, your relative, I remember Brother Hagin was struggling with a relative who was dying, and he was talking about something there that I had a question about. And when my sister died, she was 45 years old. Basically, what I thought in the prime of her life, she was getting ahead in life. And then she dies of a brain hemorrhage. And she laid in the hospital bed for about 6 months. And I would go visit her and try to, it's hard to see your relatives in bed, looking strange with a bunch of tubes and a breathing machine. This sister was the love of my life. My sister was we were close like twins. And she was the one that always brought me the birthday card. And whenever she went to the movies as a little kid, she'd go to a movie. And she'd always bring me back a bag of barbecue chips and some Doubleman gum. And she would always dress me up. She'd buy clothes for me, and she said, this is what you got to wear. And so she was always like a mom to me. And when she passed away, it was devastating for me. I can't wait to see her. She's in heaven. She was born again. And, of course, she didn't live a perfect life. And she had addiction problems as well. But I know she's up there. You know that none of you are going to make heaven because you've been good. You're going to make heaven because Jesus is good. And he paid the way. And you could sin a lot more than outward sins. You know, hate and resentment is just as bad as taking drugs. Jealousy is just as bad. And I remember this man of God that I was admiring so much said, when my relative that died, I suffered so greatly. And I said, God, why? Why did they die? Why did they die? And I a lot of people are suffering that way. Why did so-and-so die? And I remember, as I mentioned last Wednesday, I said, when my mom died of cancer at 59, very young. I'm going to be 67 soon. My mom was 59 when she died. And you're a very young lady. I was there with my wife. We were sitting at her bedside. And the doctor said to my mom, you have 6 months to live. But she died within a very short time. She didn't have 6 months. And as she passed away and she breathed her last breath, I told God, I believe in healing. And I don't know why she died. I knew some things about it. But I didn't really struggle with it. I said, I'm going to leave it with God. And this gentleman that I mentioned to you, who struggled very hard about why this person died, why their faith couldn't hold them here, why they couldn't be healed because they prayed. You know, of course the Bible says you can pray for somebody. And so the Lord spoke to him and said, didn't you read in my word that says in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to God and the things that are revealed belong to you. So that's between me and this relative of yours. Sometimes we don't always know why someone passes away. And you'll never know until you get to heaven. But you know the word of God is the truth. Amen. And we don't know everything about everything. No one does. There's no preacher in the world that knows everything about healing. And everything. But we teach you what we know. And you know, as far as healing is concerned, I made it my business to major on the topic. And for years and years, I studied on healing. And that's the most important thing that I ever learned about is healing first and then faith. I learned about that because I was interested in it. And I studied the word on it. And so I want you to open up your hearts to God's word. The man at the pool of Bethesda. The healing miracles of Jesus. John chapter 5, verse 1 to 4, the King James Version says, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. I want you to notice the term there, the phrase, waiting for the moving of the water. Let's all say it together. Waiting for the moving of the water. Now I want to ask you something. There's something, you know, water represents the Holy Spirit. Water represents the Spirit of the living God. And also water represents healing. And we need to understand that God brings healing to people, all of us. And so this man was waiting for the moving of the water. And why was he doing that? Verse 4 gives us an answer. He says, for an angel. An angel is a creation of God, a supernatural being. This angel went down at a certain season to the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole. The word whole is actually the word healing. In the original language, if you study this, you'll see that in Jesus told different ones, you know, be whole. And they were healed. And so that's the same word, healing. Whoever stepped in, the Bible says, whosoever, after troubling the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease he had. Whatever disease he had, no matter what it was, this person was healed. In this chapter, we need to understand that Jesus here, we have to understand that there was this symbolicness here of water. Jesus often taught using natural things to illustrate spiritual laws for everyday understanding. The term waiting for the moving of the water signifies moving of God's Spirit, as we mentioned. Often in the scripture we see that water is a type of the Spirit. And Jesus used this, you know, in what we see here, metaphorically we see here the writer uses metaphorically Holy Spirit, you know, as the agent or the person that's healing in this. It says here, verse 39, or it says, anyone who believes in me, the Bible says, and drink, for the scripture declares the rivers of the living water will flow from his heart. This is John 7:38. When he said living water, he was speaking to this of the Spirit of who he would give to everyone believing in him, but the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into glory. We see here the scripture, Jesus used the Holy Spirit here as the living water. And he is the one that comes into you. When you get born again, you have river, a well of water in you, of salvation. And he's in you. When the Apostle John mentions a certain season, he meant that they really didn't know exactly when the moving of the water would happen. God evidently sent an angel down there into the pool and stirred up the water, or maybe the water bubbled up or whirled around or something like that, indicating that God was doing something supernatural regarding healing. It says that whoever stepped into that pool was made whole of whatever disease he had, the scripture says. You have to understand, this was a special move of God. Everybody say a special move of God. And so Jesus came along. This was already going on before Jesus had arrived. This was already happening before Jesus came here. And Jesus comes by to this pool where this was happening. And Jesus came along. Of course, the Bible says in Acts 10:38. In Acts 10:38, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus. You know, Jesus had to become man, so he had to be anointed. So he was a man anointed by God. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. What kind of power was it? Well, healing power. Who went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So Jesus comes along, anointed by and led by the Spirit of God. He was led there to initiate healing for this man. And I might add, a lot of folks are waiting for God to do something for them. The Bible says in Hebrews that God spoke through his Son, Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, that in the time past that God sent the prophets, he said in these last days he has sent his Son Jesus to speak to us. And for many, you know, for various reasons and in many ways, it says there. And so Jesus' actions, whatever Jesus said, he said, whatever I say, I'm saying because I heard my Father said. You read that in the Gospels. Everything I do represents what God wants to do. So Jesus' actions, if you see the scriptures, if you really understand that everything Jesus did signifies a message from God. In other words, what God's will is. In the four Gospels, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we find 19 cases of individualized healings recorded for us in the four Gospels, as we call the New Testament. But there's a transition. It's a transition from the Old Testament to the New. These, no one was ever born again until Jesus rose from the dead. The apostles were not born again until Jesus was risen from the dead in Acts 20, he says, the Bible says in Acts 20, Jesus breathed on his disciples or apostles, and he says, receive ye the Holy Ghost, and that's when they got born again. Lights came on. They knew certain things. I know, of course, you, when you got born again, light came on. That's why we have the great song, I Saw the Light. But did you know that everyone in the Gospels, under the ministry of Jesus who were healed, were not Christians? They were not born again. And every one of those people, according to scriptures, and I've studied healing, and when I studied from this, I recorded this. And you can have this if you want to. It's going to cost you something. There's 19 cases of healings in the four Gospels. 19 of them. Let me just give you one. Number one, the nobleman's son. We find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Four recorded this healing. The Bible says this man was healed by faith. Then the second one, Peter's mother-in-law. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke wrote about this. The Bible says this woman was healed. And she ministered unto Jesus. And we see the leper. We see Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's recorded there. This man, this leper was healed. There's no mention Peter's mother and the leper. It didn't say faith or they believed in there. But if you study it, it infers that they were believing God. You just have to study. You see each one of them in these cases, the nobleman's son, Peter's mother-in-law, the leper, the paralytic, the man at the pool, the man with the withered hand, the centurion's son, Jairus' daughter, the woman with the issue of blood, the two blind men, Syrophoenician's daughter, the deaf with the impediment of speech, the blind man at Bethesda, the lunatic's son, the man born blind, the woman with the spirit of infirmity, man with dropsy, the 10 lepers, blind Bartimaeus. Out of these 19 cases, we find here, according to the recording that we looked at, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10 out of 19, where faith actually is directly mentioned. The rest, you see faith is inferred or it's used, and you see that the actions of those people showed that they asked Jesus something. One, what would we call the gifts of the Spirit, or a special move of God. And so when we study these cases, we know that if anybody is going to be healed, it's going to have to be that they believe God, or their parents are going to believe God, or they've been believing God for healing. But like I said, not everybody, as they said, not everybody will receive. And not everybody that you witness to about Jesus and salvation, they're not going to receive right away. They might receive later, or some might just totally reject it. They might say, no, I don't believe that Jesus is the only way. I don't believe I have to be saved to go to church or whatever to believe in, to go to heaven. So what we have to do is stick with Scripture, right? We have to stick with Scripture. And this particular guy here, as we just read, we see, first of all, in the first four verses of Scripture, we see a moving of the water caused by an angel, and whoever stepped in was made whole. This was what we call is a special move of God, that God didn't use a man. God didn't use a church. He didn't use a person. God used an angel, and that person was healed. Are there cases like that? I'm sure there is. There's people who've been healed supernaturally. When Paul was born again, he saw a vision. Jesus came to him, and he got saved. Not everybody gets saved that way. It's when they were preached the word. The Bible says it's through preaching the word. I believe it's Acts 4:12, somewhere on there. It says that there's no salvation in any other than the name of Jesus. Now, when people ask us questions, I was watching a video yesterday. They were asking, T.D. Jakes. They were asking the guy from Texas, Joel, and different ones about healing. And they were, Oprah says, I'm a born again. I believe in God too, I believe. But I believe there's many ways to to heaven, but I'm a Christian, you know? And so you have to understand, so we have to stick by, we have to stick with the Word of God. We have no authority other than hearsay, or, you know, we have to stick with God's Word, what the Word says. So if someone asks me something about anything in the Bible, I have to say, here's what the Word says. Not here's what I believe. It don't matter what I believe, is what the Word says if you can answer somebody. Right? God's Word has to come out and say, where's scripture and verse for that? I want to know where it is. Now, the odd time, you know, so Paul was saved when Jesus appeared to him. Now, if you're going to wait for Jesus to appear to you to be saved, you'll never be born again. Right? And if you're going to wait for an angel to come to your house to heal you, you won't be healed. So a lot of times in ministering healing, people have asked, you know, they want proof first. Show me first. Well, we know one thing about the, you know, show me first. The lady with the issue of blood, the Bible says she believed that if Jesus, she could touch Jesus, she would be healed. That's what her belief was. So if I can just touch Jesus' garment, I shall be whole. That's what she said, chapter 5, verse 28. If I can just touch Jesus. Her words identified her faith. And your words regarding healing identify where you're at in faith. About faith. Everyone that has some kind of idea about something, it came from somewhere. And I'm glad that someone got to me before somebody else got to me, because, you know, I wanted to believe in the Bible. I wanted to believe God. Especially with the gifts of the Spirit, with Holy Spirit, being baptized with the Holy Spirit. I was raised a Catholic. And Catholics somewhat believe in tongues and the Holy Ghost. And when we get the tongues, you can split them in many, many, you know, ways. And my professor said to me when I was in college, he said, you cannot receive this gift. This gift has passed away. And I had already encountered this, speaking with tongues. Spoke with tongues. Now, there are different kinds of tongues. There's, you know, there's, as far as I know, there's two ways. Paul said we can pray in the Spirit or pray without understanding. You can. And we don't limit ourselves just to praying out of our minds, because we don't know everything. Because the Holy Spirit knows everything. He's on the inside. That's why we pray in the Spirit. He said when we pray in the Spirit, the Bible says we're praying in the perfect harmony in will God's will by praying in tongues. You got to believe that. If you don't believe it, you won't get it. And so I spoke in tongues. And the next day that I was filled with the Spirit, I had a tremendous experience. I went out into the Spirit. I went into the heavenlies, and I felt the joy of God. I was in heaven. I came down out of that trance back into my awareness of my body after I was filled with the Spirit. Not everybody has that experience. I did, for some reason. God gave this to me for a reason. Came back in my spirit, I realized I'm back on earth here. And I'm driving to work to Kenora the following day. I heard a word that came to me, said, that never happened to you. It was so real that I almost said, yeah, I didn't. I was not filled with the Spirit. After all, remember what that man said over there, right? This doesn't happen to people. But I did have it. And I realized I could use this gift in different areas. And tongues is a New Testament manifestation. It's not something that happened in the Old Testament. Jesus said we would have this encounter with the Spirit of God. So this particular situation, John 5, 1-4, we see what we call a supernatural move of God. And God doesn't have to use a person to do what he wants to do. He just go ahead and move. He don't ask anyone. Nobody prayed about it. There was no prayer meeting about it. Nobody taught about it. No one's encouraging people to do it. He just moved. And during those first five verses of scripture, we see that God was doing something for those people. And we understand when God gives a special move, the Spirit, he's trying to draw people's attention to himself. He's trying to initiate faith from those people that I'm here. You know? And so, you know, when someone is being touched by God and they're healed and something happens, doesn't that give you some kind of, hey, I like to understand that. I like to believe that. What is that? I remember the first time I went to a supernatural meeting of healing. I didn't know. I mean, I'm a Catholic, and I started going to the church, and someone invited me to a church. I went to, back in the days in the 80s when the evangel was like, you couldn't drive into the driving parking lot. It was so full. You couldn't find a seat. All the seats were full, and all the overflow was full. Cars were on the road. You had to park on the Balmoral. The whole place is packed out. I remember going there when Bill Prankard was traveling in. Anybody remember who Bill Prankard is? He pulls a lot of pranks. That's why his name is Bill Prankard. Anyway, I saw him operating in the gifts of the Spirit. I said, hey, man, that's wonderful. I want to do that. Then in 1990, I went to a meeting. I ran into a meeting by accident. My wife and I went to shopping in 1991, Minneapolis, and there was a meeting. We saw a thing there that says, Benny Hinn is in town. There's Robert Slaughterton and Lester Summerall, and I didn't know who these guys were. Rod Parsley, Alf Christensen, great musician. So we tried to get into that meeting. We said, there's no way we could get in there. I said, what is this place? People try to fight to get in there. Old ladies hitting each other over the head with their purses, trying to get healed. Anyway, so we said, we go back there, and my wife and I, we were, you know, we couldn't get in because I blame her because I said, this is your shopping. We can't get in. We can't get in. So I said, tomorrow morning, we go early. So we went in there. Next morning, got up at 5 o'clock, tried to get there at 6. Got there. Hundreds of people at the door. What is this meeting? So finally, we made it in, but we made it into an overflow. And we saw the healings going on. We saw the power of God. We saw our usher fall under the power of God. I'm healed. What is this? This is wonderful. I said, I'll receive that. I want that. And something happened to me in that meeting. That was 1999. 1981, I received a visitation of the Holy Spirit, reading Smith Wigglesworth's book, and I went into the Spirit. And something happened to me there in 1981. 1991, something happened to me again. Like, this is something going on here. What is this? The Lord took me to 2 Kings, Chapter 13, verse, I believe it's 21, whereby we see a transfer of anointing of healing from a dead man to a person who is a dead prophet touching a dead person. And he revived, stood upon his feet. The Lord said to me, you know, that's before I understood this about what I understand later on, and that the anointing is transferable. The anointing of God is transferable from one person to another, like Jesus did with the 70, like he did with the 12. He said, I'm going to send you out to the healing ministry. Here's 12 people. Go and heal the sick. I'm going to give you this healing power. They went out. They come back all excited and said, even the devils are subject to us. They came back, and there were 70 more. He sent out 70 more with the healing ministry. I believe it's Luke chapter 9 and 10 there. We looked at that. And he sent them out. And the 70 come back. One guy came back, rushing to Jesus, and said, listen, there is another guy out there healing people, but he was not with us 70. Let's stop him. Jesus said, don't stop him. Evidently, this guy did it by faith. He said, if they did it, I could do it. I remember sitting there in that convention center, watching Benny Hinn, I said, if he could do that, I can do that. Because God wants all of us to bring healing. And I said, I received that. I'm going to receive that. I received that. Lord, I received that in the name of Jesus. I didn't know this came on me in a powerful way. And one of those days I was called to go to someone's house and they were having trouble. I knocked at the door. As soon as I knocked on the door, the power of God hit those people in that house. They started to cry. I said, "What is going on there?" He said, "When you came in, something hit us. It was the power of God." So the anointing is transferable. Just like the lady with the issue of blood touched that Jesus' garment, and that power, how God anointed Jesus, came upon her. She said, "If I could just touch him, I will be made whole." The healing power. And she received. The Bible said that she felt in her body that she was healed of that. And Jesus felt the anointing went out of him. So when you're working with a tangible anointing, you can actually sense that and feel those things. Like, remember, Oral Roberts used to say, "I used to feel that in my hands. I couldn't hardly stand it." I had that for 2 years. Where I just bugged me every day. I didn't like it. It's like wearing oven gloves every day. You know, it kind of bugs you after. Pull it off, Lord. Get it out. But, you know, you don't understand. I didn't understand all these things. And you say, "Wow, you're stupid, Pastor Roman." No, well, hey, things happened to you. You didn't know either. So this guy, going back to this issue of blood, or this Bethesda man, then we see that Jesus comes by here, and the Bible said he begins to become aware that there was a guy there that needs healing. There's a whole pile of people there, remember, right? Bible said he ministered to this man. He knew this man was there for many, many years in that condition, the Bible says. And the Bible says that he asked the man, "Will you be made whole?" And this was done by the gifts of the Spirit, what we call discerning the Spirit, working of miracles, gifts of healing, gifts of faith, all happening at the same time. And this man was made whole. Like, there's no way you could heal someone who's been a certain way for years that has something wrong with them, or something missing, or malfunction in their body, or missing something that needs to be, you know, need a new lung or need a new heart, whatever. This guy, you know, he's there for all his life. Never walked since the day he was born. Jesus tells him, "You want to be made well?" He said, "I have no man, I have nobody to help me." So Jesus tells him to get up. Well, it has to be the guy had to really receive a miracle. He's got to have the gifts of the Spirit to receive a miracle. This is not an ordinary faith. If you're sick, if you're born that way all your life, you need more than the healing anointing. You need the miracle power of God. You need something extra to make you well. And you need to believe beyond your capability. You know what I'm saying? So God has to drop that inside you so you could believe. And that's what we call the gifts. That's what happens when someone's called to the ministry or called, you know, like for me, I didn't just study scriptures and memorize them and say, "I'm a pastor now." No, God dropped that in me. He said, "You're a pastor." And I knew it. Somebody said, "How do you know?" I said, "I don't know. How do you know you're called?" "I just know it." "Well, how did I know it?" Well, God had to put it in there by the gifts of the Spirit. That's how it works, you know. And so I remember years ago when somebody asked you, "Are you called?" I said, "Yeah, I know." "How do you know?" I just know. Let's go to a couple of scriptures here. I know we're getting close to the end here. I want to just give you three things as we close here. First of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. If we're going to experience healing personally, and in the ministry here at the church, if we're going to experience the healing power of God. You know, God's wonderful. And we don't always understand everything that happens to people. And each one of us has to believe the word of God. Right? Do you believe the word? Amen. I believe. I don't always understand it. Someone told me, read the Bible. Even if you don't understand it, just go ahead and read it. And when you're reading it, God will tell you things that he wants to tell you. Don't worry about someone else. God will tell you about it. And sometimes people say, Pastor Roma, I had this vision. Can you tell me what it means? I said, that's not my vision. He's told you. It's not my vision. You know? And so sometimes we try to figure out things on our own. We dispute things. I remember, Brother Hagin, he grew up as a Baptist, Southern Baptist. And he went over to the Pentecostals because they were getting healing. He said, I didn't understand that tongues business. I didn't like that stuff. They're fanatics when it comes to tongues. So I went over to the Pentecostals just to get a little fellowship with faith and healing because I knew they believed that. So I went there. And then he got filled. They say you play around a slippy bank, river bank, you fall in. I wanted to fall in myself. Because I was tired of dead church. I was in a church that there was no life in it. Maybe somebody else felt the God, but I never did. I was always afraid of those statues in the nighttime. Did you find 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1? I want to show you something. Three things you want to see the power of God. Number one, the King James Version says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Verse 1 says there. Let's not talk about those idols right now. They're dumb. Concerning spiritual gifts, that word gifts in your King James Version is italicized. You got a King James? How many, who's got a King James Bible? These guys are old time Pentecostals. Oh yeah? What do you got, honey? New King James? Well, we want the old. No, italicized. Okay. So it says what? Same thing? Okay, New King James here too. So now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So the word gifts was added by the translators to help us understand the following discussion. But what they did is got you focusing on gifts. The whole chapter is speaking more than just about gifts. Right? If you read the whole thing, you'll read the whole chapter. It's not just talking about gifts. So it makes you focus on that. So the word actual spirituals, in the original language, the word spirituals, everybody says spirituals. The word spirituals is translated, not concerning the spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Things of the spirit and things pertaining to of the Holy Ghost. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, the things that concern him, and the things that he does. That's what it says, the word spirituals. That's the original language. Concerning spirituals, brother, I do not want you to be ignorant. In other words, concerning what God does, God does not want us to be ignorant. The word ignorant means uneducated about spiritual matters, things of the Spirit. Concerning what the Holy Spirit will do in our lives. And a lot of us have been in the dark concerning these areas. You know, I had to question a lot of things that I believed as a kid. And when this guy came to me, a friend of mine says to me, Roma, listen, you know, I was a Catholic too. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, yeah. He said, yeah, I can pray for you right now. I said, well, no, you're not a priest. So I had a mental block that only a priest could do this. In fact, I never saw one. We never talked about this in our church. It was a historical event. in the book of Acts, that's probably not that significant to us anymore, but it's very significant. He said to me, which got me, he said, you know what? Even the Virgin Mary, Jesus' mother, got this, the Holy Ghost. She was one of the 120. And I said, oh, yeah, really? Let me pray about it for 1 month. I said, so every night I went on my knees. You know, we Catholics, we go on our knees when we pray. And I asked, I was very sincere about it. I said, God, this guy, my friend, says I can receive this gift. And I'll take it if it's available to me. I'm receiving it. Every night I would pray. And then he said, we're going to go to church. And we have a guest speaker Sunday morning. So I went with him. For him not to bug me anymore, I went with him. He was bugging me every day. Come on to church, come on. So I went with him, went to a church. We went to this little Pentecostal church, and we sat in the second row of that church. And I sat there, the guy spoke on the blood of Jesus, magnificent power of a sermon about the power of the blood of Jesus. If you ever learn about that, that's wonderful. It brings the power in, really. So I'm sitting there, and as the meeting was over, the man came up to me, the pastor came up to me. He said, young man, he said, the Lord says to me that you've been searching for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, how does he know that? Well, it's a gift of the Spirit. He has discerning spirits, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. He said, you come back tonight and you'll get it. Oh. Gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to come back tonight. But I have to drive 8 hours to another town. Church starts in native churches, they have like 6-hour services. They start at 6:30 and they finish at midnight, I guess. So I went to that church, and sure enough, I had an experience with the Holy Spirit in that service. Spoke with tongues, no problem. And, so we can't be ignorant of spiritual things. So I was ignorant. I started questioning things. I started answering with my own knowledge. Listen, your knowledge is your knowledge. You only know what you know. You know? So let's go to the next verse of scripture here. Let's go to verse 14. Chapter 14. In the same, the next chapter. Chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1. He said, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. The same applies in this year, spiritual gifts. He's not just talking about gifts. He says, desire the things that pertain to the Holy Spirit and things of the Spirit of God. So we, the Holy Spirit is sent here for us. He's called the great teacher, right? He's going to teach us. He's going to lead us. He's going to reveal to us what we need to know. So he says, now concerning, spirituals, that you desire this. The word desire means crave for and hunger after. We need a hunger after the things of God. We need a hunger for the Holy Spirit in our midst, in our services. We need that. We can't just sit here over there. Oh, yeah, it's wonderful. You got 4 points. Great. Let me write that in my notes here. That's wonderful. You know, you need something more than that. You need to experience some joy once in a while. Like, just get... get joyful a little bit. You know, when people get saved, they're happy, right? When I got saved, when depression left me, oppression left my whole being, just jumped out of me. I was so happy every day. I went to sleep happy, got up happy. I'm happy to be alive, but just happy to be saved. I don't have to do those things I used to do anymore. I'm not as scared of cops anymore. I remember where I slept last night. I'm not worried about the drug dealer, the guys coming after me to find out if I owe them any money. You know, just that, it was so free to, like, I'm not afraid at night anymore to go to bed. So I was just so free. Thank God for his presence. So, you want the Holy Ghost? Listen, don't be ignorant about things concerning the Bible. find everything you need to know. Go to Scripture. Don't ask your particular brand of people. Brother Hagin always taught us this. Don't say what Brother Hagin said. Go to the Bible. Tell him what the Bible says. That's what he always says. You don't have to believe what I say. Find out what the Bible says. The best thing I ever learned from that man. So I said, okay. One time he said, Jesus appeared to him. I'm going to teach you some things about the devil. He said, Jesus, I know I'm seeing you there. I don't really believe unless you give me scripture. And Jesus said, he smiled at me. He said, I'll give you more than what I'm going to give you here. What you asked for, I'm giving you more than that. And so we need to even be that. But don't believe just any kind of vision or something. If you have a vision or dream, look for it in the Bible. Find it. If it's in the scripture, then you can believe it. You have a foundation for it. Go to Acts chapter 4, verse 29. This is the last scripture. The first thing is don't be ignorant. Get some teaching and get into the Word. Secondly, desire spiritually. In other words, crave for, hunger after spiritual things. Three, Acts 4 and 29 and 30. This is after they healed, after the third chapter, they healed a man crippled from his mother's, I believe it was his mother's womb. He never walked one time, and they walked by this man. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given unto thee, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. They never prayed for this man. They commanded him to get up. You know? And I had a lot of questions. I had questions about different things. Because I was indoctrinated in the Catholic Church myself. I just couldn't believe this. You know, you can't interpret the Bible. You need a priest to help you do that. You couldn't do that. So they come back. They got beaten because they obeyed God and healed the man. None of you have been beaten yet because you obeyed God. It might be coming. It could be. You know, we think about it, yeah. You know, there's going to be some stuff going on, but I'll be gone. Yeah. There's going to be some real bad stuff happening. So, now the Lord, they prayed, the Lord, look on their threats. That's those people back there. And grant unto your servants, with all boldness, they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, as signs and wonders may be done by the name of through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. So they're praying over here. We see healing, signs and wonders. Those are what we call the power gifts of the Spirit. That's gifts of faith. Those are the gifts of the Spirit, right? Healing, right? Gift of faith and miracles. So in order for us to have this, it's not just me that I'm the pastor. I agree. I want that. But every one of us needs to have this. We want to have that too. We got to agree that God, we want to see this. We want to see this in our church. We want to see this so that other people in the city can see this is real. Let's all stand.